We're anticipating another hot and sunny day here in the Nishna Valley with a high near 97 degrees and south-southwest winds at 5 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, clear, a low around 67, sunny, high of 95 expected on Tuesday. Good morning. I'm Chris Parks with a check of the latest in state and local news on KJAN. While temperatures hovered around the low to mid-90s on Sunday afternoon, a good chunk of Atlantic was without power for a short time. Reports started coming in around 4:45 p.m. According to those reports, 25 blocks of the community were affected, mainly west of Olive Street, with AMU crews working to resolve the problem. Power was restored to some of the residents by around 5:40 p.m., and then the Cass County Communications Center confirmed a little while after that power had been restored to all customers, and all AMU personnel mentioned that it was an issue with a fuse. No other details were available. The Iowa Department of Public Health on Sunday afternoon confirmed the first death of a child due to complications from COVID-19. The child was under the age of 5 and had significant underlying health conditions. Officials said the death occurred in June and the case investigation was completed on August 6 by the state medical examiner. The child's death was publicly reported this weekend after ensuring the individual's identity would remain protected and notifying the family. When any pediatric death occurs, which includes any individual under the age of 17 due to disease or other unnatural circumstances, the medical examiner performs a number of routine tests. The investigation to confirm cause of death includes extensive pathology, metabolic, and other tests that can take months to complete and certify, depending on the complexity of the case. In this case, the medical examiner performed a full range of testing, given the complicating factor of the child's health history. Ultimately, COVID-19 was deemed the cause of death. The IDPH said also that we have made every effort to protect the identity of this child while the family grieves this devastating loss. Again, we send our sincerest condolences. The Red Oak Police Department reports a number of recent arrests. One of those reports was last night at around 10:02 p.m. as officers responded to a call for a dispute in the 200 block of West 3rd Street in Red Oak. After investigation, 57-year-old Kathy Wagoner of Red Oak was arrested for simple assault. Wagoner was taken to the Montgomery County Jail and held on $300 bond. Red Oak Police reported an arrest of an Elliott man Sunday evening following a traffic stop. They conducted that stop at 9:44 p.m. on Sunday on Highway 48 just north of the intersection with Highway 34. Following the stop, officers arrested 23-year-old Paige Pettis of Elliott for interference with official acts. He was taken to the Montgomery County Jail and held on $300 bond. Red Oak Police also report one person was arrested early on Sunday morning and one arrested Saturday evening. Authorities say at around 2:41 a.m. on Sunday, 36-year-old Billy Lynn Leeper of Red Oak was arrested at the intersection of 1st and Reed Streets for public intoxication. His bond was set at $300. And around 6:31 p.m. Saturday, 30-year-old Mildred Eleonora Douglas of Red Oak was arrested in the 1800 block of North 4th Street in Red Oak for simple assault, criminal mischief in the fifth degree, and public intoxication. She was being held in the Montgomery County Jail on $300 bond. Adair County Sheriff Jeff Vandywater reports one arrest occurred over the past week. On Friday, a pickup truck driven by 19-year-old Troy William Brown of Clearfield was pulled over around 7:25 p.m. for speeding nearly 80 miles per hour on Henry A. Wallace Road near 310th Street. After an investigation, Brown was taken into custody and transported to the Adair County Jail. He was charged with OWI first offense after a BAC test registered .132, or nearly twice the legal limit for intoxication. Brown was also cited for minor in possession and speeding before being released. Fremont County Sheriff Kevin Astrope reports two people were arrested early on Sunday morning on drug charges following a traffic stop on a speeding vehicle. At around 1:32 a.m., a Fremont County deputy pulled over an unplated Nissan Versa northbound on I-29 near the Thurman exit. The Fremont County canine Roby was deployed and alerted to the presence of controlled substances in the vehicle. During a subsequent search, methamphetamine, drug paraphernalia, and prescription pills were located. Astrope says 29-year-old Leanthony Carey of Gretna, Nebraska, was charged with possession of drug paraphernalia. 22-year-old Jamie Lee Kahn of Plattsmouth, Nebraska, was charged with possession of methamphetamine, possession of drug paraphernalia, and unlawful possession of prescription pills. Carey was being held at the Fremont County Jail on $300 bond. Kahn was being held on $2,300 bond. The Mills County Sheriff's Office assisted the Fremont County Sheriff's Office and K-9 unit with the call. Authorities are investigating after a car drove through a group of protesters in downtown Iowa City on Friday night, but no serious injuries were reported as part of the incident. Iowa City police say they identified the driver who went through a group of at least 100 protesters Friday and are seeking more details from people who were part of the event organized by the Iowa Freedom Riders Civil Rights Group. Video of the incident was posted online. Organizers said Friday's march was planned to demand additional action from Iowa City leaders. Iowa 3rd District Representative Cindy Axne has announced a new $1.19 million grant from the Federal Emergency Management Agency to help cover Mills County's debris removal cost in the aftermath of after last year's devastating floods. The grant for debris removal is authorized through last year's federal disaster declaration and is funded through the $3 billion for Midwest flooding that Representative Axne fought to secure in last year's federal disaster bill. Representative Axne has been tracking funding provided to Iowa to aid these recovery efforts through her Iowa Flood Funding Tracker. With this new grant, the tracker now accounts for $83 million spent by FEMA and $579 million spent overall since the disaster declaration last March. Axne said even as Iowa is beginning to implement recovery efforts from last week's derecho, this new grant reminds us how many overlapping disasters our state has faced in recent years. I'm pleased to see this sizable grant for Mills County to cover cost of removing debris from last year's flooding. Grant funding like this from FEMA proves just how long it can take for federal funding to come in and to help cover the cost of local recovery efforts, which is why I've continued to push for support and track these projects with my Iowa Flood Funding Tracker. The Enhance Iowa Board on Friday awarded more than $3.7 million in community attraction and tourism grants to projects in 12 Iowa communities. Among them were projects in Tabor, Winterset, Red Oak, and Woodbine. The Tabor Library Association received $186,877 toward the total project cost of $1.225 million for a project that will include the construction of a 7,000-square-foot facility with library spaces for adults, teens, and children, community room spaces for programming and relaxation, and commercial kitchen, a makerspace, an outdoor learning area, and ample parking. The Madison County Conservation Center in Winterset received a CAT grant amounting to $450,000 for a $4.9 million project that will include the construction of a 12,400-square-foot facility with an events and seminar room, exhibit room, STEM classroom, boardroom, library, and administrative offices. Exterior improvements will include an outdoor courtyard with paved access drives and parking lots. Expand the Grand in Red Oak received a $150,000 CANT grant for Phase 2 of their project, which includes renovation of the adjacent building to accommodate an additional movie screen and seats, as well as an expanded concession area. The project is expected to cost $923,842. And the Woodbine Regional Wellness Center in Woodbine was awarded a $450,000 CAT grant for their project that includes the construction of a two-level, 7,608-square-foot building to house interpretive displays, conservation and wildlife studies, wildlife exhibits, and cultural history. An outdoor amphitheater will provide space for additional programming and group gatherings. The total project cost was estimated to be more than $6.8 million. The Enhance Iowa program provides financial incentives to communities for their construction of recreational, cultural, educational, or entertainment facilities that enhance the quality of life in Iowa. To date, 80 CAT grants have been awarded by the board, totaling $25,036,725. The next Enhance Iowa board meeting is tentatively scheduled for October the 1st. Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds will speak at this week's Republican National Convention. Reynolds' campaign said Sunday that the Iowa Republican will address the convention remotely on Tuesday and doesn't plan to attend the event in Charlotte, North Carolina. GOP officials in Charlotte are expected to vote to renominate President Donald Trump in a small in-person session on Monday. Iowa Republican U.S. Senator Joni Ernst is also scheduled to speak to the convention on Wednesday. And Connections Area Agency on Aging has announced the organization is offering two evidence-based workshop series starting in September to benefit caregivers. Stress-busting program for family caregivers is proven to reduce stress, anxiety, and depression and improve the quality of life for family caregivers. Powerful Tools for Family Caregivers provides caregivers with tools and strategies to better handle the unique caregiver challenges you face. If you're a caregiver, caregiving takes many forms. You may help a relative or friend with transportation, housekeeping, grocery shopping, personal care, medications, emotional support, or doctor's appointments. Caregiver classes meet online via Zoom once a week starting September 17th. Each class will run 90 minutes. It's for caregivers of adults with chronic conditions. Class size is limited and registration is required. There's no cost for the program, but you will receive an opportunity to donate. For more information, you can contact Jan Schnack, Family Caregiver Specialist at Connections Area Agency on Aging, at 1-800-432-9209, extension 8116. Connections Area Agency on Aging Family Caregiver Program supports people who care for their parents, spouses, or others age 60 and over by providing information, resources, and support. That's a look at the latest in state and local news. Now taking a look at your funeral announcements here this morning. Milton Berry, age 87 of Harlan, died Thursday at the Manila Manor. Funeral services for Milton Berry will be held Monday at 11 a.m. at the United Methodist Church in Irwin. Polly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has the arrangements. Tracy Catherine Carlson, age 53, of Walnut, died Saturday at Jenny Edmondson Hospital in Council Bluffs. A memorial service for Tracy Carlson will be held on Friday at 10:30 a.m. at Hockenberry Funeral Home in Atlantic. Ann Tyrone Ty Scheffler, age 81, of Harlan, died May 7th. His significant other, Sandra Sandy Brown, age 70, of Harlan, died July 31st. A private celebration of life service for Ty Scheffler and Sandy Brown will be held. Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home in Harlan is assisting with the arrangements. And John K. Whiten, age 65, of Audubon, died on Saturday at the Audubon County Memorial Hospital. Per his wishes, cremation has taken place in a private family celebration of life memorial service for John Whiten will be held at a later date. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has the arrangements. That's a look at your latest in news and funeral announcements here on KJAN. I'm Chris Parks, KJAN News.